News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sengupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. The deadlock over convening the Rajasthan Assembly ended on Wednesday with Governor Kalraj Mishra agreeing to call a session from August 14. The Raj Bhavan announcement came a couple of hours after the Ashok Gehlot-led cabinet sent a fourth proposal to the governor for summoning the Rajasthan Assembly, mentioning August 14 as the new date. The government argued this met the 21-day notice requirement on which Mishra had insisted earlier, counting the days from July 23 when the first proposal for the session was sent to the Raj Bhavan. The Congress government had earlier asked for the session to begin on July 31. Mishra had turned down three earlier proposals, saying if the government wanted the assembly summoned at short notice, it should state that it planned to hold a vote of confidence. Otherwise, it should give 21 days notice, he had said. On Wednesday, the Raj Bhavan returned the third proposal sent by the government on Tuesday. But the fourth proposal sent on Wednesday night after another cabinet meeting was approved. The Rajasthan governor has approved the cabinet proposal to call the assembly session from August 14, a Raj Bhavan spokesperson said. He also gave verbal directions to make the necessary arrangements for the prevention of infection spread during the session. While returning an earlier proposal on Tuesday, Mishra had highlighted 3 points: a 21-day notice, live broadcast of the proceedings if there is a trust vote, and social distancing during the session. As the impasse over calling a session deepened, Gehlot held a 15-minute meeting with Mishra at the Raj Bhavan. Hours later, the state cabinet met to redraft the proposal, setting the new date. "The love letter has already come. Now I'm only going to have tea with him," Gehlot told party workers at the state Congress office before heading for the Raj Bhavan. Gehlot is caught in a power tussle with his now-sacked deputy Sachin Pilot, who has the support of 18 dissident Congress MLAs. Altogether, the Congress has 107 MLAs in the 200-member assembly and the BJP 72. The Congress on Wednesday welcomed the arrival of the Rafale fighter jets in India but questioned the delay and their high cost. Congress leader Rahul Gandhi asked why each Rafale jet was purchased by the government at a cost of Rs. 1,670 crore, while the erstwhile Congress-led dispensation struck a deal for Rs. 526 crore, and why the offset contract was given to a bankrupt private firm instead of the public sector Hindustan Aeronautics Limited. "Congratulations to IAF for Rafale. Meanwhile, can Government of India answer why each aircraft costs Rs. 1,670 crores instead of Rs. 526 crores? Why 36 aircraft were bought instead of 126? Why was bankrupt Anil Ambani's firm given a Rs. 30,000 crores contract instead of HAL?" he asked on Twitter. Congress chief spokesperson Randeep Surjewala said every nationalist should question why the Rafale aircraft are made in France and not in India, and why was their arrival delayed by 5 years. "We welcome Rafale in India. Congratulations to the brave fighters of the Air Force. Every nationalist should ask why each Rafale was purchased for Rs. 1,670 crore instead of Rs. 526 crore. Why only 36 Rafales instead of 126 are being purchased? Why are they made in France and not made in India? Why is there a delay of 5 years?" Surjewala said in a tweet in Hindi. India on Wednesday received its first batch of new combat-proven fighter aircraft in 2 decades with the arrival of 5 Rafale jets, giving the country's air power a strategic edge in the midst of a bitter border row with China in eastern Ladakh and frayed ties with Pakistan. The aircraft, having an undisputed track record and considered one of the most potent combat jets globally, landed at the Ambala Air Force Base at around 3:10 p.m. after covering a distance of 7,000 kilometers from the French port city of Bordeaux. Actress and Sushant Singh Rajput's ex-girlfriend Ankita Lokhande was reportedly contacted by the Bihar police while she had visited the late actor's family in Patna. Ankita and Sushant dated for 6 years after they met on the sets of their popular TV show Pavitra Rishta. According to sources speaking to CNN News 18, Ankita had shared with the Bihar police that Sushant had communicated to her that actress Riya Chakraborty was harassing him. Sushant had reached out to her in 2019 before the release of her debut film Mani Karnika, The Queen of Jhansi, and reportedly told her that he was not happy in his relationship with Ria. His text messages to her were shared with the police at that time. On Tuesday, a separate FIR was lodged with Patna police against actress Ria Chakraborty under various sections, including abetment to suicide, on the complaint of Sushant's father. The FIR has been lodged by the actor's father, Krishna Kumar Singh, after the intervention of Bihar Chief Minister Nitish Kumar. IPC sections 341, 342, 380, 406, 420 and 306 have been imposed by the Patna police. A four-member team has reached Mumbai for further investigation in the case. And Iran's paramilitary Revolutionary Guard launched underground ballistic missiles on Wednesday as part of an exercise involving a mock-up American aircraft carrier in the Strait of Hormuz, highlighting its network of subterranean missile sites. Although state television documentaries have focused on operations at underground bases, all have avoided showing geographic details revealing their locations. Wednesday's launch from what appears to be central Iran's desert plateau may have changed that amid heightened tensions between Tehran and the US over its tattered nuclear deal with world powers and as economic pressures grow. "We have carried out the launch of ballistic missiles from the depths of the earth for the first time," General Amir Ali Hajizadeh, commander of the Guard's Aerospace Division, told State TV. "That means without utilizing conventional launch pads, the buried missiles suddenly rip out of the earth and hit their targets precisely." Drone footage captured by the Guard showed two missiles blasting out from covered positions in the desert early on Wednesday morning, with debris flying up into the air in their wake. The Guard did not identify the location of the launch, nor the missiles involved. The launch, 6 months after the Guard shot down a Ukrainian jetliner and killed all 176 people on board, appeared geared towards demonstrating the strength of its missile program to a domestic audience, missile expert Melissa Hanham said. "The above-ground footage shown on state television, coupled with investigative techniques, make it possible to locate the site," she said. "Once you find the silo, it is really not a safe place to keep your missile anymore," said Hanham, who works as the deputy director of an Austria-based group called the Open Nuclear Network. "Since its bloody 1980s war with Iraq, which saw both nations fire missiles on cities, Iran has developed its ballistic missile program as a deterrent, especially as a UN arms embargo prevents it from buying high-tech weapon systems. The underground tunnels helped protect those weapons, including liquid-fueled missiles that can only be fueled for short periods of time," Hanham said. "What they are trying to do is increase the survivability of their missile forces," she said. "They feel that their missile forces are exposed and that they could be taken out preemptively. By building this elaborate tunnel scheme, they are trying to increase the survivability." Iran also could have used missiles buried in hermetically sealed canisters for the launches, without the need for a major underground base, said Michael Ellman, a missile expert and the director of the Non-Proliferation and Nuclear Policy Program at the International Institute for Strategic Studies. "Solid fuel propellant could allow such missiles to be buried for years," he said. "Presumably, these missiles can be launched remotely without a launch crew on site," Ellman said. "Perhaps the launch crew is nearby and has operational control of several to a handful of missiles." However, he said he suspected the US likely knew where the missiles were buried. "Maybe not all of them, but a large percentage," Ellman said. "If so, they are vulnerable to pre-launch strikes during a crisis." Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.